fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. South Africa will face defending champion Nigeria in Saturday's final at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament in Accra, Ghana. Now, it'll be a rematch of a group game between the teams on November 8th. South Africa edged Nigeria in that match 1-0, the opening fixture for both teams in the tournament. In the semifinals, South Africa beat Mali 2-0 in Cape Coast, Ghana, while Nigeria defeated Cameroon in a penalty kick shootout in Accra. Our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, tells us more.
The indomitable Lioness of Cameroon lost 2-4 on penalties to Nigerian Super Falcons in their semifinal game of the 2018 Africa Women's Cup of Nations in Accra. The Cameroonians, in full control of the game, could not create any scoring chance, same as the Nigerians. The full 90-minute stipulated time ended goalless, and the first and second half of extra time again ended goalless. Both teams went in for penalty shootout when Nigeria won to qualify to the final. At a post-match press conference, the Super Falcons coach Thomas Denaby expressed his determination to win the Alcon Trophy and qualify his team to next year's Women's World Cup in France.
We said already when we come here that we have two big games. The first one was to qualify for World Cup, and we did that today, and I'm extremely happy. And of course, when we come to the final, we will do whatever it takes, trying to bring back the cup to Nigeria. But just now, in this moment, I'm so tired after the game, so I leave that now for the moment and just thinking of being happy for an hour or something before I start thinking about next game.
The Swedish Super Falcons coach said he switched to defensive tactics during the game with Cameroon, but will play more attacking at the FIFA World Cup next year.
We know already when we came here that Cameroon is a really good team. Honestly, I was not very happy over the first 10-15 minutes. I think we looked very anxious. We lose the ball too much, and definitely too much on midfield. And we couldn't create any good attacks, so we have to defend a lot. But the good for us this game and also during all this tournament is that the defending line and the way we defend is very good. We have a good and compact team. And that was probably the main reason that we made it today, that we played a really good defense game. But for next year and for World Cup and so on, we need to improve our attacking play.
In another semi-final game at Cape Coast Stadium, South Africa beat Mali 2-0 to reach the final. By reaching the final, Super Falcons of Nigeria and South Africa's Bayana Bayana have qualified for the 2019 Women's World Cup in France. For the Sunny Side of Sports, Kwabena Ofori in Accra.
Thanks, Kwabena. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Cameroon will meet Mali on Friday in Cape Coast, Ghana, in the third-place match at the Africa Women's Cup of Nations football tournament. The winner of that game will join Nigeria and South Africa at next year's Women's World Cup in France. Reporter Iron Mike Mbonye watched Nigeria's penalty kick victory over Cameroon at a public viewing center near Lagos. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings to you, Sonny. I'm at a public viewing center, Gowon Estate, a suburb of Lagos. Nigeria has just qualified for the finals of the African Women's Football Tournament by beating Cameroon 4-2 on penalties. I have some Nigerians who want to react to the outcome of the match. What's your name, sir, and how do you see the match?
Me, Ayodeji, you know. I love the match. And Nigeria play with sense with them because Cameroon, he bring target to come and meet Nigeria, and he play very well with Nigeria. But the penalty issue, Nigeria play with them with sense.
My name is David Ahaboy. Yeah, concerning the match, I love the way the ladies play. They try their possible best. And I didn't believe that they can go up to 120 minutes because the Cameroonians are very stronger than us. They hold the midfield tight. So they said that Nigeria cannot control the midfield. That we have a little lapses in the front too. Nigeria cannot move front. So we thank God that we're able to escape to the 120 minutes. And we thank God that we were able to play well when the pandemic started.
My name is Isaka Sulaiman. So the Nigeria Cameroon, the match is very fine because they ended with a penalty and those girls, they are doing well. So the match is...
Oh, the Nigeria match is fantastic. I love it and it's nice.
The match was good, fantastic. We see that the both team tried from the stage of it to the last stage. No go from the both team. At the end of the day, the penalty time came up and then Nigeria team win.
Well, the game was tough and the girls, they did their best. Both teams played very well, but the best team came out, you know, on top.
See the opposition from Cameroon.
Well, if I'm to look at it, it's kind of rough. They didn't give our girls a chance, but at least they were able to prove that, yes, our girls are number one in Africa.
And from the public viewing center in Gowanle State, a suburb of Lagos, I am Ion Mike Imbonye, sending it back to the sunny side of sports. Sporty greetings, Sonny.
And more sporty greetings to you, Iron Mike. That's Iron Mike Imbonye reporting from a public viewing center near Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
They're playing back.
In National Basketball Association action Tuesday night, the Toronto Raptors topped the host Memphis Grizzlies 122-114 for their sixth victory in a row. The Raptors trailed by 17 points in the second half, but rallied thanks to some excellent three-point shooting. The Raptors converted 10 of 17 shots from outside the arc in the second half. Kyle Lowry had 24 points and 6 assists for Toronto, while prized offseason acquisition Kawhi Leonard finished with 17 points and 10 rebounds. The Raptors have the NBA's best record, 18 wins and 4 losses. Now let's go to Detroit, Michigan, where the host Detroit Pistons won their 11th game of the season. The AP's Denny Kopp reports from Detroit.
The Pistons win for the fifth time in their last six games, beating the Knicks 115-108. Blake Griffin led all scorers with 30 points, scoring 19 of them in the second half, while Stanley Johnson came off the bench to score 21 and lead the Pistons to their third straight victory. Griffin says the Pistons are developing into a consistent winner.
As the season's gone on, I think we've seen improvements in certain areas. I mean, game to game, sometimes you just have bad games, but I think our understanding of what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it is getting much better.
Detroit shot 48% from the field and held a 20-4 advantage in fast break points. Alonzo Trier, an undrafted rookie on a two-way contract, had 24 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists to pace the Knicks, who trailed by as many as 18 in the second half. Denny Kopp, Detroit.
Thanks, Denny. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again for some NBA hoop talk is Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, The Voice of America Swahili Service Chief. Sporty greetings, Mwamoyo.
Sporty greetings, Sonny.
Let's begin right here in Washington, Mwamoyo. A very high-scoring contest between our beloved Washington Wizards and the Houston Rockets. I guess you can say the Wizards defuse the Rockets, 135-131 in overtime. What does that game symbolize, Mwamoyo, in terms of style of play this season in the NBA?
High scoring. And at the risk of sounding like we're tooting our own horn, yeah, this show, the sunny side of sport, we spotted this. We spotted the explosive scoring, fast-paced game, and this is what we saw on Monday. Very, very fast-paced game, high-scoring, 135-131, and the backcourts, the performance of the backcourts of both teams, they played so well, and it was high-scoring. Gordon and Harden of Houston, they combined for 90 points. Mm. Bradley Beal and John Wall, they combined for 68 points. I mean, this, you have to go back to 2006 to find such a combined high scoring. And that was LA Lakers, Kobe Bryant, and Smoosh Parker.
Wow.
When they scored another 68.
I know there were rumors that the Wizards might want to trade John Wall or Bradley Beal. I don't see that happening, Momoyo.
And as we said last week, since that rumor started, these two guys, they've been playing so well. They're playing the kind of basketball that says, don't trade me. And if you trade me, this is what I'm capable of doing wherever I'm going.
And let's point out, the Rockets played without Chris Paul, another great guard.
Yes, and they still were able to score all those points. But the Rockets are still struggling as we speak. They're sitting at, I think, at number 11 on the Western Conference. So, I mean, the season is still early. You know, there's plenty of time, but they're still struggling. They have really to have to get their game together before we get into halfway in the season.
I mentioned Chris Paul having some injury problems. Steph Curry, he's missed quite a few games this season for the Golden State Warriors. But it sounds like Steph might be coming back, Momoyo.
Steph is coming back, and Golden State Warriors, relax. Don't worry. he missed 10 games because of groin injury. And during those 10 games, you know, Golden State Warriors went 5-5, but they have won 3 games in a row. And Steph Curry was supposed to go into full practice last night with no restrictions, which means he can come back on Thursday when they play Toronto. And that's a very tough game for them. After that, they have a few more games which are also tough, including Detroit and another one against Milwaukee Bucks,
okay,
where they meet Giannis Antetokounmpo. So those are very tough games. And remember, Draymond Green is still out with a toe injury.
Draymond Green, of course, had that little conflict with Kevin Durant. Do you think they've patched things up?
We still have to see that, because since that skirmish went on, they haven't looked very good, and then the injuries came on. So we have to see the game in full, the team in full healthy with all the players in, and we'll see if they have overcome that or not. But, you know, the leadership of Steve Kerr, the coach, I think will get them over it.
You mentioned Toronto, Momoyo. The Raptors playing some excellent basketball, 6 wins in a row. I mentioned that they beat the Grizzlies last night in Memphis, 122-114. Talk about the Raptors and Kawhi Leonard.
Hottest team on the league right now. As you said, they are on a 6-game winning streak. Kawhi Leonard is a good leader. They were tested last night by Memphis Grizzlies, but this, as you say, you explained, they still won. And what comes out for me from last night's game is the fact that all 5 starters on Toronto, they scored in double digit. That tells you it's a team play. This team is so well balanced at the moment. Now, with Boston and Philly still struggling in the Eastern Conference, you know, Toronto is doing very well. They are separating themselves from Milwaukee Bucks, who are number 2. I think they have a 3-game difference between them and the number 2 team. So they're doing very well, and it doesn't look like they will stop.
The you mentioned the Celtics and the 76ers, both trying to incorporate some new players, so to speak. Jimmy Butler recently traded to the 76ers, and Gordon Hayward playing this season healthy after being out injured pretty much all of last season. So it's going to take some adaptation for both teams.
It's going to take a while. For Boston, I think that Boston has been the most surprising team. I mean, everybody thought with the coming back of Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, you know, they will be playing well from the beginning, but they have been struggling. We still have to see, as we say, it's only about 20 games in. So they have some time. With Philly, Jimmy Butler, you know, since he came on Philadelphia, he won 2 games with last minute shots, and they were 3 pointers. So, you know, he's giving them that kick that they needed with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. This team is sitting well. You know, they just have to make that hump and play consistently well from now on.
with both the Celtics and the 76ers, Mamoyo, do you see them improving as the season goes on?
Definitely. They will improve. I mean, as I said, the season is only 20 games in, and there's still a lot of games to play, a lot of basketball, and with Boston, they have to get into playing with Gordon Hayward, very good player, you know, and Kyrie Irving in that lineup, with Philly, with Jimmy Butler coming on, and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, JJ Redick, who is playing point now, they will need a number of games to gel together into a chemistry team that plays well together.
At the opening, you mentioned the trends in the NBA this season, Momoyo. High-scoring games, definitely one of the trends this season. And you've got some stats to back it up, don't you?
I think one of the reasons is, remember, at the beginning of the season, there were some rule changes. And one of the change was the shot clock. And when a team gets an offensive rebound, the shot clock is set to 14 seconds, not the full 24 seconds.
Okay.
What does that mean? That means they have to score quick. So there are more scoring opportunities because there are more time. You don't have 24 seconds, otherwise you're going to lose the possession. So you have to be quick in scoring in those 14 seconds once you get an offensive rebound. That paces up the game.
With the fast-paced nature of the NBA now, Momoyo, do you think the age of the traditional center, the big man, has kind of disappeared?
Well, we saw that last season. Last season, we saw the bigs, Joel Embiid, Antetokounmpo, the kid from Portland. I mean, they're all playing. They're passing. They're shooting threes. They're cutting inside. You know, they're playing from outside. So we have seen that. I think the way the play is going now, as fast as it plays, the traditional center is kind of disappearing. We still have to see, but I think that's the trend we're seeing right now.
Finally, Momoyo, are there any teams that have surprised you so far at this stage of the season in terms of how they're playing?
Memphis Grizzlies has surprised me. Denver Nuggets has surprised me. They're playing extremely well. On the Eastern Conference, there hasn't been much surprises. Toronto, after getting Kawhi Leonard, Philly, Boston, even though they're struggling, they're still, you know, they're a very good team. Our beloved Wizards, once they get there.
Go Wizards! Go Wizards!
they're still a very potential team. They have the pieces to play well.
Mamoyo Hoops Hamza, the voice of America, Swahili service chief. Thank you, Mamoyo.
Anytime, Sonny.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In Olympic news, the IOC chief is giving high marks to Tokyo as it prepares to host the 2020 Games. Joining us now with more details is my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. On Wednesday, IOC President Thomas Bach said, with just over 600 days to go, the ingredients are already in place for a successful Tokyo Games.
I cannot remember any Olympic city being so well and so much advanced 2 years before the Games as Tokyo 2020 is.
Bach spoke in Tokyo, where he attended the Association of National Olympic Committees General Assembly, also known as ANOC. Bach praised Olympic organizers amid concerns over the city's ability to host the Games in intense summer heat. Temperatures rose to over 100 degrees Fahrenheit this past July, and Bach says organizers are working closely with medical experts to ensure everyone is protected when temperatures become dangerous.
You can be sure that these measures will be applied to protect everybody. There are not only the athletes, in particular the athletes, of course, but also the spectators and every participant. in these Olympic Games.
Thomas Bach also addressed concerns surrounding natural disasters, citing the earthquake and tsunami that devastated the region in 2011 and caused a meltdown at a nuclear power plant in Fukushima. Bach paid a visit to Fukushima along with Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, where he says they witnessed great strides towards the country's reconstruction.
This visit, together with the Prime Minister to Fukushima, was a great encouragement with regard to this power of sport, this power of sport to unify people, this power of sport to give hope to people, this power of sport to give confidence to people. And this is what we are all striving for together.
Prime Minister Abe added his country has made every effort to showcase to the world the power of the Olympics and the values associated with sports. The ANAG General Assembly also saw two countries present their vision for a future Olympic Games. Stockholm, Sweden, and two countries in Italy made their pitch to host the Winter Olympics in 2026. Both countries embraced the New Norms program created by the IOC with the aim of making it easier and cheaper to stage Olympic Games. Sweden's Olympic Committee President Mats Arya said the New Norms program perfectly links to Sweden's model of sustainability.
I think the new norm and the new terms of organizing Olympic Games definitely fits our way of thinking, and of course this is a great opportunity for Sweden and a great opportunity for the Olympic Games as well. So I think it's a perfect match.
And Italian Olympic Committee President Giovanni Malago says countries like Italy and Sweden, with their rich history of winter sports and pre-existing venues, marks the future of Olympic bidding under the New Norms program.
With so many disciplines in winter games, some of them are not so popular, are not so easy to organize. I'm talking about the venues. That for winter is fundamental to utilize better as possible the new norm, and at the same time this can open a larger numbers of countries interested in the bid.
Well, we will find out who will host the 2026 Olympic Winter Games when the IOC elects the winning bid in June of 2019. And that's all from me. Sunny, back to you.
Thanks, Gwen. I enjoyed that Olympic package. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I encourage our VOA listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. Once again, that Twitter handle, @VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo by Reuters photographer Lee Smith of Tyson the Gypsy King Fury and Deontay the Bronze Bomber Wilder facing off on Facebook. How do you like that? Facing off on Facebook. They look like they mean business. A showdown on Saturday night at the Staples Center Arena in Los Angeles, California. And our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta, will be breaking down Wilder Fury for us during Thursday and Friday shows. And that wraps up the November 28th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Sule Terawali. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, general elections are coming up in the Democratic Republic of Congo on December 23rd to determine a successor to President Joseph Kabila. An in-depth discussion on what's at stake in DRC's elections on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We love to have you on board. This is Upfront on the Voice of America. Hot, hot.
Upfront is a show that explores issues
that affect your daily lives. Don't move that dial. Get your snacks, get your cup of tea or your cup of coffee. Put your feet up. This is Upfront. cheers. Kling, kling.
Yeah, now there's the youth culture that is being practiced by the youth globally. Oh,
yeah. I feel like the problem is that once the funds are sent to these developing countries, it sometimes gets in the wrong hands, and then it's the actual people that are supposed to be benefiting from these funds really never even get to see.
What does this mean for your local culture? Is it being threatened? Should your parents be worried? Let's talk. This is Upfront of the Voice of America. You can follow me on Twitter. My handle is at Upfront Africa. And remember, you can always send us an email here on the show. It's upfront@voanews.com.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists from the universities of Scotland and Kent studied and analyzed some of the world's oldest cave paintings at sites in Turkey, Spain, France, and Germany. They say their investigations reveal that rather than just being primitive depictions of humans and animals, the ancient cave art actually suggests that people from as far back as 40,000 years ago had comparatively advanced knowledge of astronomy than had been thought. The Scottish and English researchers say the animals depicted in the ancient art are actually symbolic representations of star constellations, which were used to signify dates and designate occasions such as comet strikes. Researchers who detailed their findings in a study published by the Athens Journal of History say this astronomical knowledge could have helped ancient mariners navigate the open seas, something that could have impacted migration paths of prehistoric humans. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination. VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is